Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart-Centered Loving. I'm your host, Jim Brown, and as always, want to let you know that you're safe here and no harm can come to you here. My goal every week or every time is to bring more love, more happiness, more joy, compassion, peace, and abundance into your life. And I always ask you to listen to the show with the goal of taking one thing out of the show and implementing it into your daily life. For opening, I call them funny emails. And feel free to send me these emails or funny, you know, jokes. It's at jim@jimbrownspeaker.com. This one's about a couple in their 90s, and they're both having trouble remembering things. They go to the doctor, and the doctor tells them, physically you're okay, but you might want to start writing things down to help you remember. Later that night, while they're watching TV, the old man gets up from his chair and says, "Hey, you want anything while I'm in the kitchen?" She says, "Well, would you get me a bowl of ice cream?" "Sure," he says. "Don't you think you ought to write it down so you can remember it?" she asks. "No, I can remember it." "Well, I'd like some strawberries on top, too. Maybe you should write it down so as not to forget it." He says, "I can remember it. You want a bowl of ice cream with strawberries?" "I'd also like some whipped cream." "I'm certain you'll forget that. Write it down," she asks. Irritated, he says, "I don't need to write it down. I can remember it. Ice cream with strawberries and whipped cream. I got it, for goodness sake." Toddles into the kitchen. About 20 minutes later, he returns from the kitchen and hands his wife a plate of bacon and eggs. She stares at the plate for a moment and then says, "Where's my toast?" I subscribe to it's called Simple Reminders. And, you know, I start and end with a quote each time. And one of the ones I got from Simple Reminders this week, which I printed out and have on my desk here, it's called "Everything Comes by Being. Be the love you seek. Be the friend you seek. Be the lover you seek. Be the honesty you seek. Be the integrity you seek. Be the patience you seek. Be the tolerance you seek. Be the compassion you seek." And then you can fill in "be the blank you seek" for yourself. That's by somebody by the name of Bryant McGill. And my quote-unquote opening quote, ha-ha, number two: "Believe in yourself and all that you are. Know that there is something inside you that is greater than any obstacle." And that's by Christian Larson. Over the years, I've channeled a lot of messages, and what I want to do is I think I'm going to start sharing those with you. And I don't know if they're channeled or anything like that, but when I first read Neil Donald Walsh's first book, Conversations with God, he said, well, you know, he got up one night and he was angry with God, and he wrote them, and, you know, he started writing back, and this is, he believed it was God writing back. He says, "Hey, if the message resonates with you, you know, accept it. If not, forget it." And I'd say the same thing here. So feel free to email me your feedback about this, because I'm trying something new, or you can go into the chat room if you're listening live, and if you're listening live, you can call in at 657-383-0055. So what I want to do today is to share something that I wrote this week, which was Monday. And then after I share it, I put together a list of what I considered keywords or key phrases, which I'd like to discuss. And again, if you're on live, feel free to join in the chat room or call in. Pardon me. This was Monday, February 29th. And so we know what year we're in, don't we? And it said it was David. Obviously, my mind said, who are you? It's not important who I am, just my messages. You see, here we are unity consciousness, a consciousness of one as a body of one. So we are all have the same message. It's like being a student in school. We are all students of the same school, but some of us study different things, have different projects, and go on field trips. Right now, you are on a field trip. The purpose of your field trip, that is, your life on Earth, is to break through the barrier of forgetfulness so you can share and teach this with others. You see, all Earth creatures asked for this veil, so you could prove, in quotes, your intense desire and loyalty and love of God. The problem is, you have no idea what you asked for, and now almost all of you are hopelessly lost and terrified that you are alone in a foreign world and that everybody is out to destroy you. This fear is so enormous that you, collectively, are paranoid. So we are asking some of you to volunteer to learn how to reconnect with the unconditional love that you know at home as home, so that you begin to have a semblance of order rather than the chaos and turmoil that you are experiencing right now. You are asked to embrace the sacredness of your origin. This requires letting go of your preconceived notions of how life works on Earth. It's like you're in the middle of an eternal fire that is consuming everything. You can rise above this just like you do in a helicopter. You can find a better way to see life. Again, you must let go of your false or erroneous beliefs about how life works on Earth. Life on Earth is intended to be a wedding celebration where everybody comes together to celebrate the union of love that is being created today. The marriage of love is planting a seed that will require constant love and nurturing. The higher meaning of this marriage is to put dough into the oven and watch it expand and grow into a full loaf of the bread of life. Excuse me a second. This bread, or love, is then shared with everybody and is never depleted unless you believe in scarcity. If you do, it'll rot, get hard, and it won't be enough. When this fear sets in, you'll begin to hoard, which angers others, and this creates the chaos you're in. Know this. Everybody has enough bread, love, not only to sustain your life, but to share it with everybody you know. This love, or bread, is a gift. In order to partake of this love, you must open your arms and heart to let it in. You must believe you deserve this love. You must use your beauty, allowing this loving bread to expand at its own pace. Your job is to go from oven to oven or heart to heart to open their heart and let them know that they are entitled to this love no matter what your past is. And you can now reopen your heart to accept love, let it in, nurture it, and trust that you deserve this love. They/you are beautiful, and none of this has anything to do with your past or your experiences. Know that you are 100% in charge of baking your love or bread. In the past, you believed others were controlling your life and that everything depended upon the appearances of the external world. This field trip called life has nothing to do with the external circumstances of your physical life, but has everything to do with your internal nature and internal life. It's like having this marital reception inside your wedding hall. The joy of the celebration is contained within. You're insulated from the chaos, the fear, the hatred, the insecurity of the outside world. only if you believe you are. Remember that life in the heart of love is self-created. Once you accept this, you will create your inner life. The energy of this inner life will be so powerful that it will spill out into your outer life and change the dynamic of your human life. In other words, inner love will heal outer fear and chaos. One more issue for today is that this inner nurturing of self-love must include forgiveness. You are forgiving yourself for not knowing how to play the game of life. You are forgiving yourself for not knowing, this inner nurturing, this loving as a gift of life, and that others taught you only about the outer world of fear and chaos. Forgive them for not teaching you how to love yourself, how to develop your inner journey, so that your outer journey or life has order and harmony. The music of love can open everybody's heart. Commit to listening to this music of love and trust that it is your inheritance. All is love. Love is all there is. We are all one together who will share the gift of unconditional love, no matter what the outside world looks like. The outside world is simply an illusion you created to prove you could overcome negativity. There is nothing to prove. You are relieved of the burden of being given the gift of embracing unconditional love while you're on earth. The gift of unconditional love is the ascension you are seeking. Ascension is pulling back the curtain on the Wizard of Oz and seeing that he is pushing the buttons and none of this is real. What is real is love. This external world of illusion is only your perception. Sadly, you believe your perception creates reality. The reality is, the only thing that is real is love. Everything else is an illusion. Your job now is to choose whether you want to continue to believe in this illusion of fear and separation, or do you want to open your heart to let in the love that will heal the illusion of fear and chaos? As always, you choose. What the gift is today is to tell you, you can choose between fear and love, and that love, or the light, will eradicate the darkness of fear. Let go of your death grip on fear. When you let go, open your arms to your divine inheritance of love. Accept your birthright to live in a world of love and be the spreader of love. Love heals all. Now, that's what I wrote. And when I say I don't know what that means. I love writing. I've got like 1,800 hours of things I've spoken into a recorder. But for some reason, I enjoy this more, and probably because when I look back at it, I go, gee, that's my own handwriting. This doesn't sound like me. And it's been a journey over the last 8 years to trust this stuff. So with that, what I'd like to do is to start by talking about the different words that I wrote down that I considered keywords and see what that rings for you. I don't see anybody in the chat room, and I don't see anybody calling in. And actually what's happened, it seems like almost all of you, that being over 90%+ of you, listen to this from the archive. So we may not get any feedback. But it'll be fun talking to you. I love talking to you, and I get the stage here. Anyway, the first keyword that came to me, and I went through it in the order that it was written. So my logical left brain mind wants to separate, you know, the positive from the negative, but this is the way it came up. The first thing is the concept of unity consciousness, which was in the beginning. And I think we see a lot of what's going on in the world. And and seeing that, you know, it's like, really? Unity consciousness? I mean, it's like, it's total, it's like an oxymoron. There is no unity. There is no oneness in anything we happen to see. I mean, all we got to do is look at the two political parties in the United States that are putting up candidates, and that's the end of that. At any rate, the concept is to embrace the idea of unity consciousness. Later on in the writing, it went on and talked about how what we believe in is the external world. What we see, what we hear, what we touch, what we smell. In other words, all that most of us believe is real is that which we can grasp through the use of one of our five senses. And what this is saying is that's all an illusion. That's all make-believe. I'm sure I've told you before, when we go on cruises and I go to the magic shows, it used to annoy me to no end that these magicians, I couldn't figure out any of their tricks. And finally I decided, a five-year-old kid could fool me, and I stopped trying to figure it out. And I just enjoyed it as a show. And I got that it was an illusion. As a matter of fact, now when they have what they used to call a magician on a show on a ship, they call them illusionists now. They don't call them magicians anymore. So what if this whole concept of what you and I are living and calling life is just an illusion, that it's not real? It's like when we're having a dream at night, the dream feels real. It's like you're really there until you wake up. So what if this whole thing is an illusion? What if what we're seeing, touching, feeling is really an illusion? And the sad part, one of the sad parts is that we know that there's a lot outside of our five senses. We know that dogs can hear things you and I can't hear. We know eagles, for example, can see things you and I can't hear. That there is a color beyond the range of a rainbow, or there are waves like a microwave oven. Those we can't see those waves. So we know there's all kinds of things out there that you and I can't grasp through the use of our five senses. So for the sake of what we're talking about here today, why don't we just say, let's just suspend that, the five senses. The heck with it. Let's be creative. Let's go into our imagination. Let's play. Let's create and see what we can make of our life. That what's going on now isn't working. It isn't allowing me to live my life at the highest level. I bought into this stuff. There's another word I'd rather use than stuff, of fear. Years ago, I started to write about fear and realized within 5 minutes that the whole world is run by fear. And we saw, watched the movie Spotlight that won the Oscar for best movie the other night. And that the whole thing was run on fear. It was about the Catholic Church's, the Boston Globe, talking, looking into the Catholic Church's police, priests molesting children. But everybody, because it was Boston, it was an Irish Catholic town, everyone wanted to protect the church. So everything's about fear, fear of dying, fear of loss, fear of change. Fear, you can go on and on about the different kinds of fears that there are in life. Fear of losing a job, fear of losing, a spouse, whatever. And we're challenged here to say, okay, there's another way to see this. I don't have to look at it the way I'm looking at it. Because the way I'm looking at it has got me scared. It's got me tense. It creates stress. It makes me wonder and question myself, to judge. It makes me criticize all these things. So what if And just again, using the term from my background, for 44 years, I was a devout Catholic, and the word here would be the soul. So for years, people say we are the soul having a human experience. And it took me a long time to get to that place of 51% where I have 51% of me believe that. Well, now I believe 100% of myself believes that I'm a soul and that I came into my body to live the life of my body, a life in my body. Just like I know I'm in my home right now, I am not my home. I went out to lunch with Jeff, and I knew that when I got in my car, I am not my car. I now get I am not my soul. I'm sorry, I'm not my body. So the challenge then is to say, okay, what you and I were brainwashed into, a life of believing in fear, of control, of lack, isn't real. So now what do I want to do in terms of creating something else? I see we have somebody on the line, so I'm going to see who that is before we continue on. We're trying here. What am I doing here? Oh, I'm sorry. That person just wants to listen. I get this, on the screen here, there's a microphone and then there's headphones, so that means they just want to listen. And I still haven't figured that out yet. Anyway, if whoever's calling from the 469 area code wants to talk, switch to the microphone, please. So we've got the unity consciousness, we've got the fear, and the concept of unconditional love, to me, most of the time is like, really? Because I'm a dad. And it's like, well, if you do this, I love you. If you don't do this, I go, really? I think the closest that I've seen that we come to it is when we have a baby. And the baby, we love unconditionally. The baby can pee on us, poop on us, vomit on us, keep us up all night, and we love that baby unconditionally, no matter what he or she says or does. And then unknown to us, we develop expectations of that baby. And then, to the extent the baby fulfills those expectations, because we want to be proud of them, we want to brag about them, we want to do all this, we shower them with our love. But when they don't fulfill our expectations, again, this is unknowingly that we do this, we withhold our love, which from my point of view, sends almost all of us on a lifelong journey of what do I have to do to be lovable? And the answer simply is nothing. You're lovable just the way you are. No matter what anybody has ever said to you, you're lovable. I've told you before, and this may have been a couple years ago, I had coached a woman, and she was angry with her mother because her mother didn't teach her how to love herself. And I said, well, did your mother teach you how to speak Mandarin? She said, well, no. I said, well, you must be living with your mother because she didn't teach you how to speak Mandarin. She said, well, no. I said, what do you mean? She said, she didn't know how to speak Mandarin. I said, that's right. And she didn't know how to love herself. So she couldn't teach you how to love yourself. And most all of our moms and dads didn't know how to love themselves. Therefore, they didn't teach us how to love ourselves. So our job is to love ourselves just the way we are. Doesn't matter how much money you have, how much education you have, what job you have. None of that matters. Practice loving yourself just the way you are. When you make a mistake, when you do this quote-unquote wrong, or you fail, or all these things, you criticize yourself, and most of us are our own worst enemy. Love yourself just the way you are. practice it. It's going to take practice because you have a whole lifetime of experiencing brainwashing that says in order to be lovable, you have to be a good employee, a good mom, a good dad, a good this, a good that. You have to do this right. I mean, when we get our performance evaluations, what do? They say, oh, by the way, Jim, you did an amazing job of blah, 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 blah. No, well, you didn't do this, and you didn't do this, and you didn't do that. And for those of you who are working, my suggestion on that, once a week approximately, you keep a list of all the things you do well on the job, and then maybe a couple weeks before your performance evaluation, you give that to your supervisor and say, here, I thought you just want to know what I've done in the last year so you can incorporate that into my performance evaluation. So that's unconditional love. Now, do I understand it? No. But I'm sure I told you before that when I was talking to God one day and I said, hey, God, I don't understand this. The answer I heard was, understanding is way overrated. And when I was a little kid, Mom always used to say, honey, someday you'll understand. And I believe that that's God's mantra to us all day, every day. Honey, someday you'll understand. And now our job is to accept ourselves just the way we are. Okay? I don't care what anybody has told you. I give you permission to accept and love yourself just the way you are. And don't be thinking, oh, Jim, but you don't know what I did. I don't care if you're in jail. I don't care if you're on death row. Love yourself just the way you are. The next thing it talked about was sacredness. And life is sacred. We got to get and see that life is sacred. It's all sacred. We got to look at it and see what's the beauty of it, what creates it, what makes this sacred, what makes life sacred to you. And if you take these external circumstances, then maybe it's not sacred. So you got to go inside and say, okay, what's the beauty? What's the sacredness of life? It's my ability to love. It's my ability to forgive. It's my ability to help other people. My gift. Each one of us got gifts. And we're the only one that got the gifts we got. So each of us is a unique creature with a unique message to share with everybody else so that together we can come back together and learn this consciousness of one, learn how to love unconditionally. And they can only start in one place, and that's got to be inside of you. You got to learn how to love yourself unconditionally first. And again, that's a process. This message talked about chaos, and you can see the chaos that's in the world now. Whether we're talking about politics, whether we're talking about religion, whether we're talking about wars, whether we're talking about economics, Wall Street, big banks, it would go on and on and on. We see how disjointed, how chaotic everything is. And you can buy into that, and then you'll have a life filled with stress. Or you can say, hey, I don't have to play that game. I get to create the game of life the way I want it to be. Nobody can tell me how to live my life. I am going to create my life today the way I want it to be. I'm going to, like it said in that simple reminder one, I'm going to be the love that I seek. I'm going to be the friend that I seek. I'm going to become the lover that I seek. I saw a story one time. A man said, I was looking for the perfect woman. And then I decided to be, I don't think they use the word perfect, but I use it. Perfect. I decided I was going to become the perfect man, and that's when your grandmother showed up. So become. You know, I'm going to become the honesty that I seek. I mean, I see the world, the integrity that I seek. I see the world today, and everybody's, you know, a lot of people are trying to do this and do that and the other thing. And I just go, well, I don't play that game. I don't play the game. I'm a man of my word. So integrity and honesty are right on the top of my list of values. So I'm going to become, this is my hard one, I'm going to become the patience that I seek. And my problem is with my wife, Rosemarie, being patient with her, because my left brain tells me, like Jeannie Robertson, if you haven't seen Jeannie Robertson, it's J-E-A-N-N-E, Robertson, go to YouTube, and she's just hysterical. I was on a program with her one time, but she's the top of the rocks. And listen to her, she's absolutely hilarious. So patience is something that I have a hard time with my wife. Because my left brain, and that's what Jeannie talks about, is her husband and left brain, tells me, well, I do it this way, so you should do it this way. And how many of you do the same thing? Well, this is the way I do it, so this is the way I think about it. This, you know, one of the books I did with Jack Canfield, I had a chapter in it, and it was basically my chapter was on life according to me. This is the way it is according to me. So become patient. At any rate, moving on. The next thing that it talked about that I thought was noteworthy is to release our notions about how life works. We all have a belief about how life works, and that's the point of that chapter in that book, Life According to Me. You know, by the time I think we're in our mid-30s, we all get, well, this is how career is going to go, this is how relationships going to go, how health will go, how money will go, how family will go. We develop these beliefs about life according to me. And what we need to be able to release these notions about how life works. Let it go. Simply let it go. Life doesn't have to be the way it's been in the past. You get to create the future that you want. And we got all these false beliefs about life. Well, why would we hold on to something that doesn't serve us? And maybe once a year you need to look at your beliefs and say, well, do I still want this one? I believe this about men, or I believe this about women, or I believe this about money, or, you know, and, you know, yet what you're doing is you're keeping that away. I believe that I can't make X amount of money, or I can't do this, or I can't do that. And that's pushing it away from you. What do you want to believe that's going to be opening your heart and opening your love and bringing it into your life? And the challenge here when we do that is because we, the left brain again wants to go, well, how do you do that? Because we got to figure everything out. But remember when you were a kid, parents said, what do you want for your birthday or for Hanukkah or for Christmas? We just gave them a list of what we wanted. We never said, well, gee, I wonder if they can afford it. I wonder how they're going to get it. We never did that. We just gave them the list. Well, it's the same thing. Ask, the way it goes, the way I read it, it goes, is three parts to it. Ask, believe, and receive. Doesn't say figure out how to get it. You ask for it. You believe it's going to come to you, which means you deserve to have this. And then wait until it gets there. And you can't say, well, I've been waiting for 22 minutes or 2 days or 5 years. You wait until it comes and trust and know it will come. And it's not yours to question when it'll come. So the challenge, again, is to get rid of our false beliefs. And in order to do that, you got to get a belief that'll replace it, that'll serve you. And if a belief you have doesn't serve you, if it doesn't allow you to lead the life that you want to lead, then let it go. Which brings us to the next topic that was covered there, is a wedding. And we went to a wedding last Saturday, and the thing, the way I talked about it was just amazing. You have this union of love that they're asking all their family and friends to share with them. It's a beginning. It's a new life. It's, you know, when you go to the church or you go to the temple or you go to the reception, everything is, or the mosque, whatever, you go and everything is insulated. There is nothing in the outside world. There's just everybody coming together to celebrate this marriage with this couple. How do we do that with our life? How do we make our life, this sacred contract of love, where today and every day of my life, I'm going to nurture my love. And that nurturing starts with me. And when I can nurture myself and love myself and accept myself, then I can reach out to you. Then I can love you just the way you are. I don't have to say, well, the way I do it is this way, so you got to believe the way I believe or do it the way I believe, do it. No. All we can do is to embrace each other just the way we are. Because we all know we all have uniquenesses. We all have idiosyncrasies. We all have faults. We all make mistakes. So we just love each other just the way you are. And that's a challenge. And for yourself, if that's a challenge, you stand in front of a mirror, look through your eyes, do this naked, look through your eyes, into your heart, into your soul, and say, I love you, you're beautiful. And say that until you can believe it. So the wedding creates a union of love. And in order for this union of love to continue and to grow, and you're either growing and getting ripe, or you're rotting and dying. One of the two. So you need to nurture every relationship you have in order for it to grow. So we have a union of love. We have a wedding. Call it what you want. It doesn't need to be a wedding the way we talk about it. We need to nurture it. And then, you know what? I want to go back here. Because there's a paragraph that was here that I wanted to discuss. I'm going to read it over again. Know that you are 100% in charge of baking your love. In the past, you believed others were controlling your life and everything depended on the appearance of the external world. This field trip called life has nothing to do with the external circumstances of your physical life, but has everything to do with the internal nature and internal life. It's like having this marital reception in your wedding hall. We talked about that. Okay, so what if we began to see life like saying, hey, wait a minute. I'm going to look at it totally differently. It's got nothing to do with what's going on outside. And it's got everything to do with what's going on inside. If I create from within, the within is going to go out. And that's going to change what goes on in the external world. And the other sentence it had there was, in other words, inner love will heal outer fear and chaos. So we got to work on ourselves. We got to work on love. And we've got to nurture it. We got to keep it going. So we don't have anything to prove. It says here there's nothing to prove. Now, that's huge. It says we're relieved of the burden to prove anything. You're being given the gift of embracing unconditional love while you're on earth. So you get to choose. Do you want to believe I got to prove myself day in and day out? Or do you want to believe, hey, I'm going to embrace myself just the way I am? And as I've said on almost every show I've ever done, you know, I refer to Terry Cole Whitaker's book, and I think I interviewed her in September of 2014, and the title of the book is What You Think of Me is None of My Business. So I challenge you to live your life with that point of view. What I think of you is none of your business. Live your life for yourself, not for your husband, your wife, your mom, your dad, your children, your priest, your minister, your rabbi. No. Live it for yourself. Because when you, today is the last day of your life, you want to live a life that you lived without regrets. Do what you want to do. Live your life your way. You don't have to be accountable to me or to anybody else. So, we have nothing to prove. You're relieved of the burden to prove anything. You are being given the gift of embracing unconditional love while you're on earth. It's your gift. Do you want to take it? Your choice. Or, next thing we have here is scarcity. So many people believe there's not enough. Not enough, then if you get some of it, you're taking away my share of it. I got to do something else. No, we don't have to do that. There's enough. We got to believe there is enough. And share what we have with other people. There's plenty. Get rid of the concept of scarcity, no matter what's going on in your life. Be grateful for what you have, no matter what it is you have. Look at it as if it's a gift. And the gift is a puzzle. The gift is, how do I learn from this? How do I grow from this? How do I become more loving from this? Whether it's a health situation, whether it's a job situation, whether it's a money situation, doesn't make any difference. We've all got problems. We've all had problems. And we've all learned, hopefully, that We gotta let love in. We gotta learn that we're all problem solvers. We gotta learn how to solve problems. Next thing I have here is to open your heart to let the love in. Everybody I've ever met has had a broken heart. And many people, when their heart got broken, they just went, "This is too much for me to take. I can't handle this." So they shut their heart down. They don't let anybody inside. Open your heart. And when we're talking about using our imagination, how about going inside and creating your heart? What does your heart look like? Who's in there? Who do you want in your heart? And even if you've been hurt, just like a sore, we can heal from that hurt. Who do you want to embrace in your heart? Who do you want to love and be loved by? What is love about? What is life about? Is it about being scared? Is it about fearing? Is it about not enough? Is it about scarcity? Is it about control? Or is it about love? Is it about letting go of old beliefs? Is it about wanting and knowing that you're entitled to live a life filled with abundance, filled with joy, filled with humor, filled with fun, filled with whatever you want it to be filled with? It's your life. You're creating it. What do you want? I've told audiences that, you know, create our life, and someone would say, "Oh, I wouldn't do that. Look at my life, it's a mess." And I said, "Look, I pile of manure." And I said, "Oh, no, but you didn't know you were creating. So now you know you can create your life. Do you want to continue to create a life of manure? Or do you want to create a life that's filled with love, that's filled with abundance, that's filled with joy?" And as it said in this simple reminders thing, be that. Be that love that you want. Be that friend you want. Be the lover you want. Be the honesty or integrity or, you know, compassion. Be that. Be that. Give it away. Give away gratitude. Give away compassion. Give away fun. Play. Enjoy your life. I talked to people on the phone, and yesterday I was talking about paying a bill for blood work. And we were playing and laughing, and the woman says, "Thanks for, you know, making me laugh. I never saw or talked to the woman before in my life." Reach out. Be yourself. Play. Use your imagination. I mean, what do kids do? They have a quote, what they call a make-believe world. Is their world real? Is your world real? Would you rather be in their world or your world? I was talking to somebody from Anthem yesterday, and she's got a 2-year-old daughter. And I said, let me share with you, and I got this from Stephen Covey, the 4 gifts that that baby gives you. She loves you unconditionally. She forgives and she forgets. She has no concept of failure. And everything she does is an adventure. So what would your life be like if you could love unconditionally? If you could forgive and forget? If you had no concept of failure? And if everything you did was an adventure? And from my point of view, I think we got life turned upside down. Those babies come in here to teach us how to love unconditionally, how to forgive and forget, how to see the adventure in everything, and how not to have a concept of failure. So embrace that. Embrace, create that life. Create that as your quote-unquote make-believe world. Create your world. Create that world in your heart and live it in your heart. And then see how it changes the external circumstances of your life. This isn't something that you sit down and do today or when you're listening to this or after you listen to this. This is something you're going to have to embrace as a focus of energy of your life. What does this look like? Oh, well, how do I love that? So you go into your heart and there you see this little boy or this little girl sitting off in the, you know, recesses of your heart, corner. My heart's doesn't have corners. So over there, and he or she was never loved enough. So they're feeling neglected. Who do you know that was loved enough when they were growing up as adults? Have you once in your life ever heard of one person dying from an overdose of love? So we don't live in a world that's permeated by love. We have been to 107 countries, and I gave up the concept of the world because it was too much for me to comprehend. Instead, I have my world. And my world are the people I talk to, like I'm talking right now today, people I talk to on the phone, the people I see on a daily basis. That's my world. And my goal is to help people, is to bring some happiness into their life, to bring some joy into their life, to have them laugh, to compliment them. I compliment people everywhere, in grocery stores, in restaurants, everywhere. Make people feel better about themselves. That's what this is about. And how easy is that? Did I tell you the story of the guy, we were in Milan last year, you know, a little later than this, and this couple is walking, we're walking toward the La Scala Opera House to see the ballet, and this couple is walking toward us, and the man has his wife's bag around his neck, and it says, hug me, and I knew it wasn't the man's, you know, they had a baby in the carriage, and so I point my finger across it, and I go up to the guy and I hug him. Well, his eyes got as big as saucers. Now, we're talking about being in a foreign country. His wife laughed hysterically. I'm sure I mentioned it before. In the 25 years I've been a speaker, the biggest gift I've gotten out of that is I can play with people everywhere in the world. And I have. And I do this all day, every day. Play with people. Make them feel better about themselves. Compliment them. People love it. Absolutely love it. So create your own world. You get to. I give you permission today to let go of everything you've ever had and create your own world. It's your opportunity. You get to do it the way you want to do it. Not the way society told you life works. The way you, Susie or Johnny or Joey or Mary, whoever, the way you want it to work. Forget about everything that's been told to you before that you can't do this or you can't do that. And right now, right here today, say, hey, the rest of my life is going to be the way I want it to be. I'm going to be who I want to be. The first thing I learned from the National Speakers Association is to be yourself. Don't try to imitate Tony Robbins or Jeannie Robertson or, Cabot Robert or anybody like that or Jack Canfield. You know, be yourself. Be yourself. My biggest fear when I started was somebody in the audience would have a question I wouldn't know the answer to. And when I got Terry Cole Whitaker's book, What You Think of Me Is None of My Business, it changed everything. Because never once of the thousands of people I've talked to has anybody told me what they expect from me, how they want me to be, how they want. And the only chance I have to make an impression on you is to be who I am. And I know some of you are going to like it and some of you aren't going to like it. That's the way it goes. Just be that way. Enjoy your life. Enjoy everything you have. Create your life the way you want it to be. It's your world. Use your imagination. And there are no boundaries. Create your own vision board. Have it be the way you want it to be. What I'm going to do, because this is just, I just want this for an hour. And I'm looking here and there's about 8 minutes. I have a long story at the end. And I'm not through talking about what I want to talk about. So I'm going to skip the story. Forgiveness was the next thing that they talked about there. And forgiveness is huge. We got to let that go. You know, and I've done several programs on forgiveness. We'll do more in the future. And forgiveness is simply releasing the emotional attachment to the event. Forgive yourself for the things you didn't do, for the things you didn't know. Each of us did the best we could with the resources we had available to us at that moment. Forgive yourself. Cut yourself some slack. And then forgive other people. I have a guided meditation. It was February of 2013 on forgiveness. It's posted if you know where you are right now. blogtalkradio.com/Jim Brown Speaker. You can scroll down. It's got all whatever 60, 70 programs I've done, and it's in February of 2013. Do it. It's a 17-minute guided meditation. And one of the things I say in there is forgiveness is releasing the emotional attachment to the event. And I've had absolutely miraculous things happen when I do that on a cruise ship. Again, we come into magic or illusion. Life's an illusion. You can believe, oh no, Jim, this is real. This is, you know, I cut myself shaving today. Or this, you know, I have this disease or that disease. Well, if you have a disease, I want you to get 3 books. One is Creating Miracles by Carolyn Miller. 2 is Shakti Gawain, Creative Visualization, and the 3rd one is You Can Heal Your Life by Louise Hay. And if you know somebody in your life that's had a terminal disease or has one, get those books for them. When I do the program on stress, I ask what causes stress, people answer, and when they talk about time, I ask if anybody has ever received a terminal diagnosis, and usually the answer I get is yes and cancer. And one day, one guy, as we were going through the Panama Canal, he said, I was told I had 30 days to live. And that was 20 years ago. And if you get Creating Miracles by Carolyn Miller, she's got 2 books. On the first book, on page 61, there's a story about Gino and the miracle that he had. And I'm not going to go into that. But simply, you know, we get to decide. This is an illusion. It isn't the way I see it. Not everybody sees it the way I see it. As a matter of fact, there isn't another person alive who sees it the way I see it. We have a perception. And our belief is that the way we see it is what creates our reality. And in this particular channeling, it said, no, the only thing that's real is love. You get to choose. You get to choose how you want it to be. Remember, you get an infinite number of choices in life. It's not like you get one or two or three. You have an infinite number of choices. And if the choice that you make doesn't serve you, choose again. There's no failure. There's no fault. You get rid of it. You know, if you have something in your mouth that has a repulsive taste, you're going to spit it out. You know, if we were sitting here face to face and talking and you got diarrhea, you're going to stop and get up and go to the bathroom. You're not going to say, well, I'm going to just, you know. No, you got to do this and you got to realize that you get an infinite number of choices. And what all of this means is we have to let go. And my favorite prayer is, go, let God. Let it go. Let it go. No matter what it is, let it go. Let go of the past so that you can create the future without dragging the past into recreating the future that's a one of the past. The way they say it in baseball is you can never steal second base with your foot on first base. In sailing, they say you can never see the sea until you leave the land. So let go of the past. The last thing it said here was that light eradicates darkness. The example I love to use is you can have a candle, one candle, and you're in a dark room and you light your candle, and let's just say there's 1,000 people in the room. And you light another person's candle and another person. And you can all light these candles. And now you have 1,000 candles lit. And that did not take away from your light. And that light from that candle eradicates the darkness. All the darkness cannot put out that candle. So you get to decide. Are you going to be the one with the lit candle, or are you going to live in the dark? Pardon me. Your choice. So we've covered a lot of things today. And you get to choose what you want to embrace. My question is always, is what was the most important thing that you got out of this? The closing quote is, I forgive myself for having believed for so long that I was never good enough to have, to get, and to be what I wanted. I don't know if I'm going to pronounce that person. Tian de Rowan. At any rate, I don't have time for today's closing story. So as always, we're going to close the way I close. And like I said, what's the most important thing that you got out of today's program? Keep a list of the things that you get and title it Keepers. And add Keepers to your list as you get them from whatever source. And I'm going to ask you, please, to share this program with your friends and family. Obviously, it's free. I'm not making any money. Enjoy it. Enjoy everything that goes on in your life. And to end, as always, we talked about this all day today. I send love from my heart to your heart. Receive this love and share it. There's an infinite supply of love. Go out there and love. Love yourself and love everybody you meet.